Hey, kids, and welcome to Design by Wingnut Social. I'm your host, Darla Powell, and today we are joined by Ellen Odway and Yvette Papo of Decorel Studio. And I have to tell you guys, super, super talented interior design firm, one of the most talented firms I've seen come across our way in a long, long time. And if you're not watching us on Designed by Wingnut Social, you're going to want to head on over there to our YouTube channel so you can see all of their stunning work. And if you're not going to do that, head on over to Instagram and follow them at decorel.co. And I think you're going to be amazed with the talent on this young team. We have some very transparent discussions about what it's like to be a Black women-owned business in this interior design space, what that looks like, and some of the pressures and expectations around that business model that they deal with. And I think you guys are going to get a lot of insight about what that is and what they deal with on the daily. And in addition to being super talented, right, that's another thing that they have to negotiate and navigate in these waters. And also, I think you're going to find their niche to be incredibly specific and interesting, and they're really successful with niching down. I know you've heard this a million times, but it's just another example of why that is so smart and why that works. And guys, I'm not going to belabor this anymore. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about them, and we're going to dig into our conversation with Yvette and Ellen. We are Ellen and Yvette, sisters and founders of Decorel Studio, a luxury interior design firm servicing the DMV area and beyond, their neighbors. We founded Decorel in 2018 to fill a gap in the interior design market, one that often fails to capture the newlyweds who just bought their first home, the empty nesters who want to reimagine their nest, or the bachelorettes who are just starting life out. Over the years, we have mastered the art of marrying the luxury that is interior design and accessibility, and that's a big part of our conversation. Guys, help me in welcoming Ellen Odway and Yvette Papo to the show. Hey there, Ellen Odway and Yvette Papo. Welcome to the show. How the hell are you?
Thank you. Hi, Darla. We're good. How are you?
I'm doing splendid today, and I'm so thrilled to have you guys on the show.
Yeah, we're so excited.
This is Yvette, by the way, just so Yvette, you can get used to my voice.
Yes. Well, yeah, you guys both have extraordinarily nice voices, so this is going to be very easy listening.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and you guys are gorgeous, of course, a gorgeous sister team, right, of Decorel Studio, Interior Design Studio. And in the green room, we were talking about your niche, and I find it to be so fascinating because not only are you guys like incredibly talented designer, Ellen, you know, just super high-end, gorgeous Thank design. You guys need to follow him on Instagram at Decorel Studio. But your niche is like a slice of that. So your high-end is a narrow slice, right, for interior design. And then your niche is to newlyweds, bachelorettes. And what's the third one? Empty nesters.
Empty nesters, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw that on your intake, and I was like, oh my gosh, we need to talk about that because that is so very specific.
It is, and you know, as you're mm-hmm. saying it out loud, I'm like, really? That really is our niche. I mean, this is Elle, by the way, but my sister can testify. When I'm thinking about the clients that we have, they really are like first-time home buyers, mm-hmm. empty nesters. People who just got married and just bought, you know, moved into their first home, or bachelors or bachelorettes. So yeah, it's very specific.
So talk me through that. How did that happen? Was that intentional? Did you guys go in with your business plan and say, you know, the smartest businesses, we need that, you know, the riches are in the niches. This is what you want to do, or was it organic?
I'll let Yvette take this one.
Yeah, Yvette here. In a way it was on purpose. Okay. And then it sort of morphed into more than we expected. So this all starts from our beginning story, right? And so for us, we saw that we were, you know, middle class, young women who thought that we deserved a space that looked and felt really good. And we also saw that interior design was something that was not accessible to us as middle income, you know, bachelorettes at that time. Who were thinking about embarking on the journey of buying a home. And so when we came up with this idea of Decorel, we were thinking about ourselves. We were thinking about people like us. We were thinking about young people, millennials in their sort of, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and whether they would have the same access to luxury interior design that people of higher income would have, right? And as we know, the interior design firm, industry is really, really white and really, really rich. And so, I mean, that's just the plain.
I mean, you got to call it like you see it. Yeah,
it is what it is, right? Yeah. And so for us, we saw that we were missing in that industry. And we knew that we had the vision and the wherewithal and effort to break into it. And so while we were thinking about who we would be targeting, we really thought, how can we make luxury interior design more accessible, mm-hmm. right, to people like us? And that's where that niche market came from of, you know, bachelors and bachelorettes, first-time home buyers.
Right.
We didn't start off thinking about empty nesters, but we did over time see that they were another big group of our set of clients that we did attract. And so we added empty nesters as well. And then newlyweds kind of fall into that first time home buyers
yes.
group as well. So that's how we came up with that.
So it was purposeful and kind of organic. You found out that you're resonating with this level of clientele, and the empty nesters just happened. Were you getting that as well, just from the stuff you were putting out and the referral kind of stream?
It was mostly referrals.
Okay.
Mostly referrals. And I think mostly referrals from our professional networks. So typically, you know, empty nesters who have kids who either are about to go to college or just left for college are thinking like, what do we do with this old space that we've been thinking about doing something with for a while?
Yeah.
And I think it just keeps them busy because they're not trying to think about the fact that their children are gone. But, you know, like, old bosses, for instance, from other companies that we've worked with, and then their friends and their friends' friends, and that's how we were able to organically bring in empty nesters.
They're like, yeah, Johnny's gone to college. Let's redo his room. Finally,
let's turn it into something we've always wanted to turn it into.
We couldn't wait.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the transition, right? That so you're middle class. You want to make your interior design affordable, and you want it to serve people who are more in your situation. You know, more like you. You know, you guys. So how did that morph to being not a middle class kind of, you know, service to being the incredibly high-end designs that you're doing right now? Are you still doing, has your audience niche changed as far as like from a demographic or income kind of perspective? Tell me how that changed.
And you know what's funny? That's a really good question. I don't think it has. I think okay. we just make accessible look really luxurious.
Okay.
And that's not saying that, you know, the items are not expensive, but when we're designing, I think we're very good about what we use and where we spend our money. Mm. And that's something that I think we do really well here at Decorel, because, you know, our overall goal and vision was to bring, you know, something that looked so inaccessible to the rest of the world and bring it to just everyday normal folks, like people who just wake up and go to work. I feel like everyone deserves having a nice curated home. It does a lot for your mental. And so And I think even though it looks super expensive, I am the queen of give and take.
High low.
For example, you know, we have an Amazon list of a lot of my favorite things that I use in my clients' homes from Amazon. You know, my favorite curtains, hands down, are from Amazon. There are certain lines on Rugs USA that I love because it looks so high end. And obviously, we have, you know, trade companies that we use that are going to be viewed as very high end, but I think we do a really good job of mixing it in. So it may seem as if we've kind of like left the middle class, but we really haven't. I think we've just, and I, if more so, I think that's a compliment because it's something we hear a lot. But still pretty much our niche, I would say.
You guys, the look is incredibly luxurious, high end and incredible. You're one of the most talented designers that I've seen come through here.
Thank
and
you.
Full transparency, you guys are a Wingnut Social clients, right?
Thank you.
So, yeah, no, of course. Absolutely. I remember telling my wife, I'm like, oh my God, you should see their work. You know, they're just, I would hire them in a heartbeat. And if you guys aren't subscribed to our YouTube channel, Designed by Wingnut Social, head on over there so you can see some of their work on this video in the background. And my producer's going to put that in there. And of course, you know, they follow you on Instagram, Decorel Studio, right? So, yeah. Okay. So tell me how that affected, because a lot of designers, business owners are really, really terrified to niche to a particular avatar. They're afraid they're leaving money on the table, but I've seen it over and over again that the designers who do, like Grow Playrooms is one example, who was a client of ours before they just blew up, just superstars, and they went and took all their stuff in-house. When they niche just doing children's playrooms, they just exploded. You know, it seems like the narrower you get on your focus for your target design and target audience, that's when firms become really successful. Mm-hmm. Were you frightened to limit it to that? Do you limit it to that?
Yvette here. It's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. And I think, you know, a lot of advice that we got was, are you sure? You know, do you want to make money in this business, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, we're both people who believe in God. We're both people who believe in what's inside of us and what God has put inside of us. And so when we started this, it wasn't something that was visionless. Like we felt like we were doing what God wanted us to do with this business. Yeah. It wasn't just for us, but it was for the people that we are targeting. And so there are times where we're like, man, we should charge more. Like, I mean, let me back that up. All the time we're thinking we should charge more, right? Yes. It's not sometimes, it's all the time. But
we've actually had clients who say, y'all should charge more. Right?
And over time, we've obviously increased our prices, but sure. But we always think about like the goal. We think about what you know drew us to start this, what we're trying to accomplish with it. And thankfully, like we've never lacked. And so, you know, we're just going to continue to be a blessing to those people. And I think that it'll just return to us tenfold. So
I love
that. It's hard. I mean, we're just like, man. Especially when we see sort of like competition or like people in other areas.
I was gonna add that.
Other work, and we're like, we look at our work and we look at their work and we look at their prices and we're like, okay, something's not adding up here.
Math is not mathing sometimes on our end. But
so yeah. let's talk about the mathing, right? So that seems like another fine line too, because at the aforementioned, right? We said it's incredibly expensive. It's overwhelmingly white, right? Interior design. I mean, that's changing some. I do see change. I hope you guys are seeing that changing. Okay, good. I'm glad I went on a limb with that one. So let's talk about the pricing aspect. So you're in business at the end of the day. We have a mission. You know, as a Christian woman too, I have a mission and I believe I have a calling and I really get fulfillment from helping people, you know, achieve their goals and providing a service for them. But at the end of the day, you're running a business. So what does that sweet spot look like for profitability? Is that something that you could see, okay, now we're upper middle class, or maybe there's a separate package we're offering that maybe it's some of the stuff, there's nothing from Amazon. It's all from, you know, right? Do you see or we're locked into this niche?
Yvette here. Yeah, I mean, we sort of play around with it depending on, you know, who's coming to us and what we're doing for them, right? So we have minimum fees that we start with, and then that minimum can climb up depending on what it is that we're doing. It depends on the client's taste. It depends on you know, how many rooms we're doing. We charge a flat fee as opposed to hourly. Most designers charge hourly. And the reason we charge a flat fee, again, is part of the mission, right? We don't want to put a cap on our creativity where we're, you know, because of the budget, we're sort of like, okay, well, you know, you only pay for 20 hours. We're only going to put in 20 hours. And that's just not how we roll. Like we really want to put our whole selves into the design, which is why the designs come out the way that they do. But the way that we found that sweet spot to come together is having that minimum and explaining to clients that that can go up depending on what the scope of work is, what the budget is, whether we're doing construction, renovation, whether it's a tear down, a new build, right? So it really does help to have that balance.
We have to be realistic.
Yeah. And we want to clarify, Elle here, that it's not inexpensive, right? I don't want people to think, you know, because they'll go to our website and say, what? But I think compared to what you get from Decoral, the level of design that you get from Decoral, I think it's pretty affordable, because I've seen a lot of designs, designers use, you know, what you see on Pinterest and things mm-hmm. like that can cost 10 times more than what you think. And we've been very transparent with our followers. We play a game called What's It Cost? And it's something that I don't really think anyone does, where they actually put their designs on display and tell mm-hmm. people, this is yeah. actually how much it costs to achieve a space like this. But it's also to educate, right? Yeah. I don't want people to think you have $5,000 and you can have marble countertops, right? Yeah. Because it's not realistic. But you can have $5,000 and do part of those countertops as porcelain and use mm-hmm. the other as, you know, granite or whatever. Like, I think...
Don't give away all the secrets.
I mean, well, I think I do a really good job of trying to let people yeah. know that beauty isn't just in the price tag. There's a way to... Yes, quality items do cost, but there's a way to kind of balance it out and get exactly the look that you're looking for without really going all out. And we spend yeah. quite a bit of time. I mean, my sister really gets on me about recording behind the scenes, but when I get in my zone, I'm in my zone. But yeah. it takes hundreds of hours of work when we're renovating a space, and that's not I'm not overshooting that. It takes yeah. that much time to get certain spaces completely designed.
I'm sure your social media manager is writing you to do that video too.
Yes.
I know.
But I mean, to Elle's point, that's why you hire us, right? Mm. Is you can, and this is something that I think is really important to emphasize, the difference between decorating and design. Mm-hmm. Okay. This drives me up a wall all the time. It's like, well, I could just go to Pinterest or I can go on TikTok and I can, yes, you can. But no one is going to walk into your space and say, wow.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like, I saw the same reel. And actually, I ordered the same thing from the same influencer on Amazon. Right. And so there is no uniqueness to it. There is no sort of strategy to it. There is yeah. no cohesiveness to it. And that's what you're paying for
the
when
talent.
You hire a designer.
And the eye.
The talent and the eye mm-hmm. And the ability to do high, low in a way that doesn't stand out. Like yeah. you wouldn't know that the curtains that we buy are from Amazon yeah. because
no,
of the way that we
know.
Style the space.
yeah. yeah.
Yeah. And so we really value transparency. And I think emphasizing Elle's point that yes, it's not inexpensive. It still is a luxury service at the end of the day, okay. but compared to what the industry standard is, it is something that if you value what we do, and if you value the feeling that you're going to get afterwards of having a home that looks and feels good,
yeah.
Then you'll understand that amount of money that you're going to pay or invest is an investment as
yeah.
opposed to just some, you know.
So there's a few things to unpack here for me. And when you guys are doing the high-low design, I used to do the same, right? Focal points and things were more of the investment pieces, right? And
yeah.
some of the more basic stuff you could get away with. Like even in my own kitchen here, I did quartz countertops. That was the high. And maybe the cabinetry wasn't like fully like the most expensive cabinets or, you know, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? but you wouldn't know it to look
no.
at it, right? Or I've done Amazon curtains. I've done half-price drapes. And because the room looks a certain way, and it just, if you wouldn't know, right? I love that. I love the high-low thing.
yeah.
And I had a follow-up question there. What was, here it is, my menopause brain. And, and what I love about the strategy of you putting the, here's what it costs, here's what it expects is yes, from an educational standpoint, but you're also kind of vetting those clients who are coming to you
yes.
who maybe isn't aware that it even costs that much, right? So when they do come to you, you know that if they're following you, if they're digesting your content, and that they have some idea of what it's going to be to work with you, right?
Yes.
So I love that. It's really, and there's another thing we're afraid of doing in general, interior designers, is putting any kind of pricing out there. Do you guys put your minimum on your website?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
So that's
put it
helpful
everywhere.
As well.
Yeah. And I think we want to eliminate certain, not eliminate per se, but there are still people who, you know, may not really go to the website. They might find us on Google and they'll just call us immediately and say, you know, hey, I was thinking about this and that. And I'll say, well, what's your budget? And they'll say, oh, I want about 5,000, you know, or they'll say something that's just like, kind of ridiculous, but in their mind and in their defense, they just don't know what it takes to accomplish those kind of level of looks. But we're very, very transparent on our website. We send what is it called? This there's the a packet
investment full service packet. Investment guide.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yes, we send an investment guide that lets people know where we, not where we shop from, but what certain things cost, right? Mm-hmm. So we say, if you want this kind of look, this is what it's going to cost you, estimate. Yeah. If you want a, if you have a house and you have dogs and children and a husband, okay?
They're messy.
You know, they're messy. And, you know, you want a white couch still. Well, that means you're going to have to get Krypton. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is what it cost, you know, so it's just a little bit more. We're very detailed because I don't want to waste either one of our times having conversations about $2,000 budget bedrooms when that's just not realistic for
and
the kind
we call
of
that.
We, want.
We call that the Wayfair effect.
Yes. Yeah. We actually like have a
where I mean, it's works. Just or the home goods effect, which, no, you know, we're not knocking it. Right. We're not knocking it at all. But again, this is a luxury service that you're paying for, meaning that if we were to just sort of source from the same places that everybody is sourcing for, you're not going to get that bespoke design that you're looking for. You're not going to get that wow that you're looking for.
Could
and,
be better.
And it's not of high quality. Let's be real. Like, it really isn't. If you are going to buy three bar stools for the price of $300, think about it. How many times are you going to sit on that bar stool before it starts doing all kinds of making all noises? And you know what I mean?
You got to buy them again. Yeah, exactly.
So eventually you'll end up spending the same amount of money that you would spend to buy high quality furniture.
Once.
However, it'll just be sort of like spread across. And if that's you, that's fine. But that means that we're not a good fit for you. Right.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So we really do try to vet clients through that game, through our transparency on the website, and through our process generally, starting with a complimentary discovery call.
Yeah. Oh, you mean on the phone, right?
Yes.
Are you guys charging for your in-house consultations?
Definitely.
We do.
Okay,
we do charge for consultations, but we do a 20-minute discovery call, completely complimentary,
just
to make sure that we're on the same page. Yeah. Did you look at the investment guide? Do you know what the minimums are? Are you ready to go? Right? Like, don't inquire and say you want to start in March.
Yeah.
And then you don't have the money to start in March. Like, what are we doing here, people?
I wrote an article back in the day. It was called Only Cry Once. And it was about, listen, just cry, pay for the, you know, the quality thing. Let it last you 10, 20 years instead of something that's going to break down in 6 months.
Only cry once.
You only cry once.
I love that. I love that. Oh, can I steal that, darling?
Absolutely. It's not mine.
In my consultations. that's a good way to put things, I think.
Yeah, I didn't invent that. I've heard that phrase, but the article was, and I would send it out to prospective clients and let them know, or add a thing too. It was a lead magnet from the website. And it was like, here's what certain rooms could cost you, like you do in education, educating them. And it was such a great vetting mechanism. Because one of the hardest things I had was to get clients to even admit what their budget might be,
really?
You know, and have to, it's like pulling teeth, right? So
that's true. Actually, I think about that in consultations.
You just launched your business on September the 1st.
Yes.
So tell me how the Instagram for Designers course has helped you with that, and what kind of ROI you've received from that already, because I think it's pretty big, right?
It is. Yep. And I've had really great engagement since launching my page, and I've had a ton of leads come in, and I've landed some pretty big projects for spring of 2024. And I really don't think I would be here today if I didn't take this course.
Wow.
Yeah.
That isn't,
yeah.
That's insane. That is incredible. How many leads are you getting from Instagram? How is, you know, what does that look like for you on a weekly or monthly basis?
1 to 2 per week. Every single one of my leads have come from Instagram. There's so many things that I wouldn't have known to, you know, improve my search engine optimization on Instagram.
Before, when we first started, I was still kind of like learning the ropes. And I would say, oh, I think you need this. And they'll say, fine. And then I realized, you probably could have gotten more, which would extend the kind of things you can do. But I am very realistic about the kind of, because I would rather you just don't go through with it than we start and it becomes an issue of payment or it's hard on you, right? We don't want this process to be hard on anyone, right? And we do construction. So there are hidden things that, you know, you just never know. So we also started adding contingency amounts on top of our total budget. So if we have like $120,000 budget, I'm going to ask Yvette to put on, and I will tell the client, hey, I'm going to add on a $20,000 contingency fee because I don't know what we're going to find in your walls. I don't
dead
know.
Dead bodies.
You know? So you just never know. You know, shipping costs could be a little different. You know, what we're buying is different. So, yeah. So
how do you account for, so you guys charge a flat rate. How do you guys account for scope creep in that flat rate? I hear the pain. I already hear it.
Yeah, it's painful. Yep. It's specifically for me because it it happens quite a bit. And I think one day maybe I'll be very honest about it. I think a lot of clients just don't know how much sacrifice my sister and I actually take. And also and Yvette will tell you, you know, we don't take as much markup as we should. Because
that's another thing that we fight about.
We do fight about that, including my, you know, our accountants will get on me about that. But I'm a visionary. And again, I'm a little bit too nice where if I see something and I know it'll be a perfect fit, I'd rather take a lower cut just so that my clients can have it.
You're so sweet.
You know, because it fits the space better. It's not a great business move, as my sister will say, but I also feel like there's blessing in it almost. And I know she'll agree with that. Like there's certain times where I just want to give them the house that I actually envision giving them, but it does get tough when, you know, maybe certain clients are not understanding. They don't really understand the behind the scenes. And like, you know, I'm having to pull all nighters or, you know, my sister's having to pull all nighters or, you know, and this week is a great example of that, of having to, you know, but you can't say that to clients, but it's a lot and they don't understand just how much,
but the design and the value you're providing for clients, though, even if you do get to the point to where you want to make a little bit more profit on that, it's okay.
Yes.
It is okay because you're still providing such an incredible service for a terrific price and you're incredibly talented.
Thank you.
So, and so we don't want you to burn out.
I get that sometimes, but it's still worth it so far. Yeah, it definitely can be quite a burnout. And I will say, and I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I just feel like I have to be
in trouble
honest.
With who?
I'm afraid. It's a little controversial, and I don't know if I should say it. But
we can always edit it if you change your mind.
Yeah, we're a Black company. There's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Expectations that people think they should get from us just because we're Black. And I think if we did, you know, if a client asks for certain things and it is a scope creep, as a business professional, it should be very, very fine to say, sure, if you don't like this fifth chair that we've sent to you, I'm going to charge you my hourly fee.
Absolutely.
Which is $200 an hour, right? Which is why I don't charge you an hourly fee. But we do have an hourly fee.
We
have those prices for myself and any junior designer. So if I am still looking for these chairs, but I think if we started doing that, it becomes a thing of we think, and sis, help me out. I don't know if I'm going to say this right. Like maybe that we've gotten too big for ourselves or things. It's a little bit more frowned upon when Black people carry themselves, Black businesses, I say, carry themselves on that level of, like, we're so professional about what we do that we should be able to have difficult conversations with our clients. It's almost like they don't expect us to do that.
To right. have the difficult conversations.
Right. Yes, I think she's being too professional here, Darla. So let me just jump in here. I think she's a little scared to go into it. So let's really get into this.
Yeah, break it down.
Let's get into this.
Yes.
This is something that we sort of
We struggle with
because on one hand, the expectations on Black businesses is extremely high.
Okay.
Right? There's this expectation that we have to be absolutely perfect.
We cannot
mess
up.
If we make a mistake, then that's a reflection on all Black businesses. Oh, here they go again. You know, these Black businesses, they never have their ish together. Right? Mm-hmm. Like,
you can cuss on the show, by the way.
Yes, I was going to ask you, can we curse? You just gave her the worst permission.
Knock yourself out.
So, like, that's number one. And then, ironically, there's this sort of a reversed lack of expectation. It's like, because you're a Black-owned business, I don't expect much from you. I don't expect you to be on time. I don't expect
or take you to collections
to take you right. So it's like, you owe money. The invoice is past due.
Right.
You signed a contract. It's been 30 days. I'm now going to assess a fee. Oh, okay. You don't respond to that. I will sue you. Because that's what the contract says.
Right.
But then it's like, oh my God, what are you people doing? That's so mean. No, it's business.
It's business, exactly.
It is.
But, but we always say this. We always make this comparison that, you know, we have a process. We follow that process. We create that process for clients or prospective clients. But then, why are you sliding into my DMs? What is that about?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't do that to Target or Amazon or some other, like, larger white company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a pain point.
That's the thing that I don't really understand. And it's usually from our people. So that's the part that I don't get.
It is. Let's get this very straight. It is usually from our people. And I think it's important for us to actually talk about this. Because we're Black people as well, and that, you know, even us, like, you know, certain expectations come with, oh, they're Black owned, so I want to go support them and use them. Don't come to me. Don't come to Decorel because we're Black owned. We took that off our social media for a reason. Come to us because you actually appreciate the level of work we do.
Because you're insanely talented. Yeah.
Thank you. And expect that we're going to carry ourselves very professionally. My sister is a lawyer. My profession. And I have an MBA. These are not two girls that you come and kind of like walk all over us. And you know, the thing with me and Yvette is we're yin and yang. I'm way too nice and she's very strict. So it actually works out in a lot of areas where we can like balance each other. My sister and I, yes, we're actually really great business partners. And people ask about that all the time, but we make a really great business team. And I think it's something really that like honestly gets to my core. So I'm happy I kind of brought it up because I would like that to really stop where we can also kind of hold clients accountable for certain things without it being used against us or make it feel like we think because we've gotten to this level, oh, Decorel is well known in the DMV that now, you know, no, we've always been professional. We've always stuck to a process. We're not perfect. You know, we will make mistakes as a business, but I can promise you, I think the level that we bring and the amount that we sacrifice and how above and beyond we actually go for our clients, I don't actually think some of them understand the level.
And that's why, and I'm sure, Darla, you'll like this comment, that's why we need to be recording more behind the scenes content so that the clients and prospective clients
can see
the value that we bring.
Because they're so used to HGTV, right? It's done in 30 minutes. And I want to say to your point about having those expectations or people sliding to your DM. So I've never heard your perspective, right, from a Black-owned business about those expectations. But I will say from being a woman, right, a woman-owned business or a lesbian-owned business, right, which is, you know, I'm gay. way. And I'm seeing a lot in the Facebook groups. How much of that, like sliding to the DMs and taking advantage of certain things or thinking you're not going to follow through, is also just because you're a woman-owned business, right? That adds another layer as well.
Absolutely. I mean, yes. being Black women, I mean, we're mm-hmm. sort of in life generally, we're sort of at the bottom. And then being Black female business owners, it's like, two things, Black
so much.
Female, right?
And so much to prove.
Yes. I think, yeah. And I want to preface all of this by saying that we are open to communicating. Like, we are very open. We want to communicate really with are. You all. We want to be able to relate to you all and all of that. I guess what I'm really talking about is sort of the business process here, right?
Sure.
Like the idea that you don't pay an invoice that's due and then don't say anything until we come to you. And then it's like this, I'll give you an example. I'm not going to mention any names.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not going to be too specific, but globally we've had some run-ins with some clients who will come out and tell us, "Oh, yes, I saw the invoice and I know it's due, but we have another event.
We have a wedding to pay for.
We're planning.
How's that your problem?"
And so we have to shift around some priorities. Can we pay you next
later.
Month?
And this is very common for us. Wow. Very, very common for us.
I have an event too. It's called the mortgage.
And it's different, Darla. If mm-hmm. an emergency comes up, that's different. Like
yeah,
we're compassionate people. We're
yeah.
sympathetic. We're understanding. But to come out and tell us plainly, like, you wouldn't say that to Chase
yes.
Bank,
yeah.
right?
They don't care.
You wouldn't, they would take you to collections, you right? So that's the part where I feel like the Black female, you know, those aspects come in where people are just like, it's just
and
a bunch
we can't,
of
and we can't react the way we would. It would be
because
okay
then,
to react because
then they
we're
would say
angry Black women.
So we're just kind of stuck in
wow.
this like whirlwind where
yeah.
it's like, okay, yeah. we are drawing a line as professionals,
yes.
yet you see us as two sisters who are just having fun with
fun.
This hobby.
Yes.
Like, this is our like
bread and butter.
Yeah,
full
this is
time.
Business.
Full
this
time.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Full time.
Roof over
so
my
it's
head.
Just
yep.
It's just like we've, you know, and we really sort of just like, we feel sad about it because it's
yeah.
like they just don't take us seriously. And no matter what we do,
yeah,
how, you know, sort of like how much we invest in giving that professional
and we
identity.
Invest a lot. I mean,
they
even
just,
you know,
yeah, you guys really have your together. I mean,
no,
seriously, you guys
yeah.
are well run.
Yes.
Very well
try.
Run. Yeah.
We
yes.
really try. So
even
it really
the documents
makes us sad.
We send. The documents mm-hmm. we send behind the scenes.
Immaculate.
Yeah, Darla, you know. You
I do know.
You already
I do
know.
I
am a pain, guys.
In the best way.
And you know, but it's honestly, and if I had to admit it, it's honestly maybe to overcome this stigma. And that's sad to admit. And it does make the clients who come in, who let us do our job, mm-hmm. who pay everything on time, it makes that process for them so much more enjoyable. Just mm-hmm. let us do our job. Let us walk you through this. There are clients who will come in and think, you know, they're the best clients, but they don't realize that they turn our process completely upside down.
Yeah.
And don't see how it affects us as a business because, you know, you're business owners and we're your clients. So you should agree to everything that's happening here. And we typically tend not to say anything because of this sad statement of the client is always right. That's really
Which is not true.
It's not true at all. But it does make us appreciate the amazing clients who we've had a long-term relationship with mm-hmm. and they just understand. And whenever they just, honestly, I think it's an inside joke among us is whenever clients just let us run our process and they let us do our job,
Yes.
For some reason, nothing goes wrong with their project.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that the best?
It's very interesting. It's not like we're sabotaging anything, but honestly, favor kind of works. It works in their favor. Nothing comes damaged. Things come much quicker for them. You know, we're excited to see them and talk to them and work with them. So even if I don't work on weekends, yes. Oh, sweetie, of course I'll come and do this because it's a pleasure just even being in your space. I have a client. We have a couple client now. When I go to their house, even if it's for 10 minutes, I know I'm going to be there for 2 hours.
Wow.
Because we're just, you know, I'll tell Yvette, oh, I should be done in an hour. She's like, you're going to their house. I'll talk to you in 3 hours. And it's just genuinely because, you know, we have an ongoing working relationship with them, but they respect us.
They give you joy.
They give us joy to work with us. They trust us, which is a big thing for my sister and I. It's just to trust us and let us use our process. We created it for a reason, right? Yeah. If we deviate from it, that's usually where we see issues happening. So any future clients, just please trust us and let us do what we do best, right?
You wouldn't
go into surgery and tell a surgeon, cut me this way because I think the scars will heal better. No, let them do.
Yeah. We do the same at Wingnut. And sometimes the educational process, it's, you know, because you don't see behind the scenes, right? What we're doing and everything. So I do get that. So let me ask you guys, before we get into the What Up Wingnut round, this has been an amazing conversation. I really appreciate your honesty and transparency. Where do you guys see Deckerel in 5 years?
Oh, man. You want to make me cry here.
Yes. Oh, I don't want to make you cry, but.
We have some amazing things lined up. Of course, the first and sort of foremost thing is our furniture line and our retail store that we're opening this summer in Baltimore. And if you're not following, follow our page, follow our shop page as well. And we'll
remind the audience what those are. Those pages.
Okay, so our interior design page is deckerel.co on Instagram. L?
Yes.
She's like, make sure that that's right.
That's correct.
Just in case. And then our retail shop is thedidi.shop. Okay, so that's Didi, D-E-D-E. D-E-D-E.
Yes, exactly how it sounds. D-E-D-E.
Dot shop.
Yes.
D-D-D-D-D-D.
And that's opening soon, right? You know I'm in Maryland. I'm going to have to come. Soon. Are you having a grand opening?
We're definitely
There's no question.
Yes, you're already on our invite list, actually.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so great. Oh, yeah.
We would love for you to come and see. It's more accessory-based. We will have a full furniture line, but we don't want it to feel like a furniture store. It's a smaller space. Nice. But there's going to be a whole, like, curated if you did want some furniture that you can look through. Some certain pieces will be in the store, but you know, but beautiful pottery, handmade, candles, pillows, accessories.
So nice. Very nice. I love it. So in 5 years, Architectural Digest, where are we going?
Yes. It's been on my vision board every year.
HGTV.
I mean, we would love that. We would love media, print. Well, yeah. We would love digital. TV.
I remember sitting with you guys and doing our sales call for Wingnut, and I remember just being so like, these guys are going to be huge, right? I can totally see them on TV. I can see them in print. Incredibly talented, very, very smart. Again, thank you for enduring this podcast. And now I have to ask you, are you ready for the What Up Wingnut round?
Yes.
All right. So we'll just take turns. I guess, Elle, you go first, and then Yvette, and then we'll go from there. So what would the hashtag on your tombstone be?
Hashtag you only live once. I thought about everything. That's it.
Mine would be life of the party.
Oh, is that so?
Life of the party.
Okay, all right. You're stuck on a deserted island, but you can have your one favorite food forever. What is it?
I already know what my sister's is, but mine is going to be probably banku and okra soup. It's a West African dish. It's a
nice.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I love okra.
So. This is a very practical answer. Like, I want to put my favorite food or favorite meal, but I chose eggs. And here's my explanation.
Yeah, I love it. I'm all for it. Let's go.
They're the most versatile food on the planet. You get your protein, you're going to be full. You can fry it. You can boil it. Like, there are so many things that you can do with eggs. and you'll be perfectly happy. So, I would say
eggs. I'm just upset with that answer because there's
survival.
But there's a stigma around gunions and eggs. It's all over the internet about how much we love eggs, and she just gave so much credibility to it. I definitely thought she was going to say bread or king cake for sure. Eggs came out of nowhere.
But you know what? It's got all your B vitamins. It's got protein. It's got your fats. She's going to live on this island for a long time.
I'm going to be there. I will survive when it comes to everything else. You know, yeah. So.
Last but not least, please recommend a book that's impacted you guys either personally or professionally.
Great CEOs Are Lazy. It's something that I've started reading because I need to let go and delegate. It's how to have more time as a CEO to do other things and to build your business while other people run your business for you.
Great SEALs Are Lazy?
Great CEOs
are lazy. Oh, CEOs. I thought you said SEALs.
Great CEOs are lazy.
I was like, I'm trying to put it together.
Okay. By Jim Schlecker, if I'm saying it right. Yeah, you can get it on Amazon.
Yvette, what's yours?
Mine is Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
I knew you were going to say that. That's crazy.
So how did it change your life?
It actually just put things in perspective because I'm always curious about why things are the way that they are. Mm-hmm. And sort of explaining how things come about. And that particular book sort of just gave me a lot of background of like, oh, like some things just don't happen accidentally. Like there are, you know, privileges that allow and advantages or disadvantages that allow people to either go forward or stay stuck. And I think having that perspective really just changed the way that I view the world.
I love it. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. Of course, you know, we love you. We love having you as Wingnut Social clients. So Ellen Odway and Yvette Pepo, please tell the audience where they can go to find out more about you guys and follow your amazing journey and see your, I'm serious guys, incredible talent. And we'll call it a day.
Thanks so much, Darla, for having us. The best place that you can find our information is our website, www.decorel.com. And as I've shared already, our Instagram page really highlights and showcases the talent of the firm and our vision. So that's decorel.co on Instagram. And then, of course, follow our soon-to-be-open retail shop, thedidde.shop on Instagram as well.
And that will all be in the show notes at wingnutsocial.com. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Of course.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on Designed by Wingnut Social. Remember, if you need help marketing your business on social media, to head on over to wingnutsocial.com. We are a high-end, super white glove social media marketing firm for you guys, interior designers, to the trade vendors, architects, at the home space professionals. And it's all we do. And we do it incredibly well. I'm an interior designer, and that's how we got started. So I own the business. So we know the lexicon. We know the business model. We know how to speak to your ideal client. wingnutsocial.com. Guys, hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to head on over to decorel.co to check out our guest today. And that's it. Until next week, remember to get out there, get uncomfortable, and be great. Hey, kids, and welcome to Designed by... Guys, help me and welcoming. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us.